Welcome into another edition of See What's On. My guest today is none other than Sean Moody. You'll know him most famously for his companies around the state, Moody's Collision Centers all over the state, and he's the founder of Moody's. Sean Moody, that's appropriate, I guess, Sean?
Yeah, founder, flounder, I guess. It's pretty close between the two, but I'll take founder.
We'll take founder. And you're also founder of something else we want to talk about, especially today, and that's Maine's Blue Collar Scholarship Foundation.
Yes, Dick, and I appreciate you having me on. The Blue Collar Scholarship Foundation was really driven about a decade ago when we started it up, because we recognized back then there'd been a real shift, pendulum shift to young people, graduates from high school, to go on to college. So it was kind of like, if you didn't go to college, you weren't going to reach your potential, or weren't going to amount to anything. You know, this narrative became increasingly stronger over the last couple of decades. So how that impacted our business and industry was the lack of young people that wanted to go into the trades in general and get their hands dirty and do very gratifying, lucrative, well-paying work. And so we, by starting the foundation, created a scholarship fund. Now, we had my wife, Christy, and I, we raised four young adults. They're all doing well. They work young. They worked hard. And what we established in that kind of that age group was that there wasn't really occupational equality.
Okay.
So for instance, our son Ben, who was captain of the football team, you know, good student, but he was going to transition right into Moody's. And he would come home and say, geez, Dad, you know, when I tell my teachers and my coaches that I'm not going to college, they look at me with this blank expression like, huh? Right. What do you mean? You know? So that really brought it home for us to say, we got a real problem here, because young people like me, myself, you know, I transitioned from, I was a sports guy kid, you know, and then I started working at 13 and fell in love with cars.
Yep.
So I think those young minds, young adults, young aspirations are in everyone, all these young adults today. So we need to create equal opportunities for pathways ranging from, you know, post-secondary, if you want to go on to be a doctor, an attorney. But guess what? If you want to go on and buy a tractor trailer and be a truck driver and see the country, or if you want to go on, run a business, you know, a trades, get into the trades. There's never been a time right now, because of supply and demand, that there's more opportunity to come out of school with no debt, get into an industry that you're passionate about, that you want to do, that you love to do, and you're going to make a great living and raise your family in the state.
So this foundation is not only a chance to get some scholarship money to students who want to go into the trades, but it's to raise awareness of the opportunity in the trades. And we're gonna dig into that a whole lot more. I just want to give a shout out to the site. It's mainebluecollar.com. So people can go to the site, read more about the scholarship fund, find out how to apply for this, and if you want, how to donate as well. According to the website, it's up to about $137,000 in donations. To date, there were a bunch of founders along with you, including Gilman Electric. We want to give a shout out to these folks. Yes. Gorham Sand and Gravel, Row Auto Group, D&G Machine, Pratt & Whitney. You may have heard of some of these companies, by the way, and Risbera Construction. But there's over 195 members, according to your site, to date, that have contributed in some way to this foundation, right?
Yes, that's right, Dick. And in fact, you know, we saw each other down at the D&G Machine in Gorham just recently, had a great press conference there. It was exciting to see the news pick up on the fact that, hey, this is a real pent-up demand for tradespeople here in the state. And the fact that we're partnering up with the Maine Manufacturers Association, we all are faced with the same challenge. If you go to any business in the state of Maine right now, and it's not limited to the trades, but especially in the trades, you say, what's the biggest challenge that you face day to day? It's not going to be tax. It's not going to be the light bill. It's going to be finding and hanging on to good help, you know, having that next generation trades men or women that can come in and kind of breathe life into the organization with their energy and enthusiasm. So it was great to see you there, Dick, and that we had a good turnout. But most importantly, like being here today, there's a lot of people out here listening to us that are shaking their head while they're driving going, yeah, I can't find a plumber. I can't see someone to put a deck on my house.
Right.
You know, this is a real challenge facing the state, and it's impacting our economy.
Right. And I think, you know, to add to your challenge, because as you know, my day job is working with Destination Occupation, and we spend all our time recruiting, you know, people to go to work for a whole bunch of companies in Maine, companies and nonprofits and a whole bunch of other people. Everybody's looking for help. But there's a big misconception about what the trades are.
That's right.
And there's the trades of the past. I mean, I worked in a paper mill, and I can remember, you know, in fact, there were numerous times in my 5-year career working as a laborer in a paper mill, I damn near lost my life. It was risky, hard, physical work. The trades of today, I mean, I toured a lumber mill not long ago, Pleasant River Lumber up in near Jackman, Moose River, and I didn't see anybody touch a piece of wood, you know, and we're talking about a lumber mill.
That's right.
You know, you don't physically touch anything anymore. There are physical jobs, but the trades have changed a lot.
They certainly have, Dick, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm very familiar with Moose River Lumber. Charlie Lumpert was the founder of that company, and Jeff Deschardin now is the fellow that runs it. For the Brochure Brothers. So I've traveled the state, as you know, and met some wonderful Mainers.
You did run for governor.
Well, that was that. Yeah. It seems like it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
No. And so I think we really do have a good finger on the pulse of Maine and what the needs are. And again, that pendulum swung, let's face it, I think it just swung too far. Mm-hmm. And what we overlooked was roughly half of our high school graduates aren't going to college, you know, regardless if we're promoting this program or not. And they haven't been going to college. So what happens to that population of students if they're not given the skills that they need to go out and be successful? They're on minimum wage, you know, or they're not working at all. They haven't built the self-esteem and self-confidence up that comes with, you know, working early and in a trade. So we have so much upside for this next generation, good paying jobs. And as you described, Dick, you're absolutely right. These are high-tech jobs that require, I call it skill bundling. We need the technical skills to be able to operate computerized equipment and computerized, like a CNC machine is all done through computer, like you said, not as much hands-on, but also have that common sense that comes with work with your hands, problem solving, troubleshooting, diagnosing, and those types of skills as well. I think, I really do, these are the most marketable skills right now, those technical skills comes easier to this younger generation because of the technology they're exposed to, but also that ability to do things with your hands as well. I think those are the two most marketable skills that bundled up make you very employable.
And the cost of entry is reasonable and the rewards are great. I mean, I know the Maine Manufacturers Association that you highlighted, and we are doing some work with them as well. But they promote the fact that the average wage of a manufacturing technology worker in the state of Maine right now is $58,000. And you can the cost of entry into that is a few thousand dollars, if any. And some employers are actually paying for the training, and there are ways to get that training.
And Dick, you know firsthand in what you do in your day job, as you described, you know, you have employers that are, look at the Chimbro company, for example. They've set up their own training school, the Chimbro Institute. And so employers are doing what they need to do, but you know what, that it's beyond what any individual company. And I think that's what was great about me with Lisa Martin, you know, she's a dynamo, and her whole family's in the trades, who's the executive director of the Maine Manufacturers Association. She's wonderful. And I think there's a growing population of parents is really who we're trying to get through to, because there's that kind of stigma. Right. Let's face it, you know, oh, geez, you know, your son or daughter's not going to college. What do you mean? You know, so we got to get rid of that stigma associated with working with your hands, going into the trades, and educate people, educate the educators, the parents and peers to say the earning potential. And let's face it, you go into a business like any business or organization, there's many aspects, many modules of running a business. So let's say you get in on the floor working at Pratt Whitney or wherever it may be, a small machine shop. You may drift into the finance. You know, you want to go back to school. They'll pay. Most companies will pay if it's something related to, you know, your line of work. Pay the tuition. We'll give loan forgiveness. You know, we have everything to gain by hanging on to these young, talented people and growing our own.
And these companies right now, I don't want to overstate it, but I don't think you can. People are desperate, dire right now. And so you've got a great opportunity to access this. Once you're in a company, you don't have to stay in that entry level position. There are all kinds of opportunities for advancement. You can go off into finance. If you start off as a laborer, you can go into any aspect of the company. It really is up to you. I mean, and you brought up something earlier I wanted to come back to, that, you know, 45, upwards of 45% of high school graduates do not have a plan. They're not only not going on to college or some advanced degree, they don't have a plan for what they want to do. And then when you combine that with the number of people who are in a, what I'll call a gateway job, they're barely getting by.
Right.
They're not necessarily in a career path that they've chosen. They're doing it because it's work. Right. They're sort of stuck in that gateway job. They don't know that these other opportunities exist. And what I think you're saying, and the foundation is saying, get out there and take a look. There are great opportunities. When I look down through your list of scholarship recipients from 2019, we're not just talking about welding and carpentry or construction jobs here. We're talking about, you get down here, you got HVAC, horticulture, fire science. I mean, anything you can imagine.
Yeah. Law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
You know, nursing. I mean, there are so many trades. And I want to go back, because you raised a really great point, that is when you said, you know, you take young people that are out on the street, basically, right, at $12, $13 an hour, adrift, no real plan. That's like the worst case scenario for mm-hmm. that individual. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is that we learn to celebrate and promote the trades
right.
as a viable, lucrative careers, so that that individual that's afloat out there, minimum wage, just scraping by, now can really have a career path.
Mm-hmm.
And I get back to that occupational quality. We would not tolerate somebody looking down their nose at someone that had a, you know, if they had a disability or if they were of a different race or gender or whatever. We just would not, we're not tolerate that today in today's society. However, you go into a high school, almost any high school in right. the state, and take their top athlete or top scholar and say, hey, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to go for a career. I'm going to go into the trades. And I will promise you, universally, whether it's a guidance counselor, the parent, the teachers are going to be like, what? What is, you know,
Dick's
going off the rails here.
You right.
know, we got to have a meeting
right.
to figure this out.
Right.
Instead of, hey, no, we're going to celebrate your passion, celebrate your interest.
Right.
Because that's the key to success. If you're doing something you love to do,
right.
you're going to fight through the obstacles and challenges that learning any job presents.
Yeah, exactly. And the educational and training institutions really are just passionate about the fact that everybody needs to get additional training.
Exactly.
You know, lifelong learning. I mean, I'm 69 years old. I'm still going to school. I'm still studying every day. I'm reading new material. There's always something to learn about. The world, if we haven't noticed, is constantly changing.
Exactly.
The technology is forcing that, the demands of the world. And then you mentioned on your website something that I thought was particularly interesting. It's not just about the technical aspect of the trades, but you need people that will marry up some of the social and collaborative skills. You know, that's one of your emphases on the side.
Absolutely. You know, learn how to problem solve and collaborate and conflict resolution. You know, they call them soft skills, but that's where our educational system, I think, does a really good job. I think when these students come out of high school, they understand the parameters. They understand what's, you know, behaviorally, how to interact and engage in a classroom, some more better than others, obviously. But what they desperately lack, if you think, Dick, about you and I growing up, and all your listeners out there, we started working at 12 or 13, mm-hmm. whether you're pumping gas, delivering newspapers, bailing hay.
Under the end of a blueberry rake, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. our work ethic started at a very young age,
yeah.
and we got exposed to getting around other adults and learning from other adults, other than my mother, for example, who raised us. But getting out in that environment, that's how you learn your street smarts, you know, to go
sure.
along with the politically correct stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be able to take some adversity, and you got to be able to handle a few knockdowns, get back up and keep going. That resiliency, whatever they put
right.
up, kind of a educated term on it, but it's basically, you got to have some grit. Life's not easy.
And you know, and the sad part of this is that this gets shaped, and it leads to the problems we have. There's a common perception that there's nothing here for people to do in Maine. So a lot of these people end up, you know, we talk to students all the time in my day job, and we talk to them, well, what are you going to do after high school? Well, I'm probably going to college. Where are you going to college? Oh, out of state. What are you going to do in college? I don't know. So they don't even have a plan other than they're going to college for in many, many cases. And then counter that with this common perception. Well, why are you doing all that? You know, you could get, if you want a 40-year degree, there are great schools right here, privately and publicly. And if you don't want any of that, why don't you explore what you want to do here? Well, there's nothing here for me to do. There are exciting jobs. Part of my job, I get to go and visit these plants all over the case. And wow. I'm sure if I went into your collision center, I would love to have you too,
by the way, Dick.
I will come. You could get to see things that you wouldn't really. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, in Biddeford, Maine, we're building the heat shields for NASA.
Right.
You know,
it's exciting. It's fun. I can't describe over this radio. You know, I'm just as excited to get out of and go to work in the morning today, 40 years ago, than when I first started. Right. Because, like you said, education's a constant. You know, time's the variable if you want to go on to college or on right. post-secondary education. And I think it's important for the listeners out there to know my background. You know, I served on the University of Maine system and the community college boards. Right. Nobody in the state had even come forward and say, hey, let's put a board member on both of these boards, get those two systems to work together.
So what a great idea.
Transfer credits. Yeah, I mean, this is something as simple. Think of the thousands of dollars that save students today. But anyway, we were able to make that happen. So I honor and I recognize and appreciate higher education. Three out of our four young adults went on to college and finished on time. And they're doing great. But I also recognize that I spoke at Lewiston's high school graduation last year, and I interviewed 30 the people that were going to graduate. I had a meeting with them before I went to the graduate. I wanted to find out what it was like to be a high school student at Lewiston, a senior. And Dick, I think the people out there would be shocked at how much pressure is on these kids. You know, there was only a few that really knew what they wanted to do. They were on the right track. And there was a big population that were going in a direction that they felt like they needed to go in because of others' influence. And I said to them, you have to know inside yourself. There's never been a moment in your life right now. You're at an intersection. And the last thing you want to do is, as you described it, you've laid it perfect. Go out of state, you know, $45,000, $50,000 a year, not really knowing.
Minimum.
If that's really what you want to do or the career that you want to go in. And you quit after 2 years, you got $75,000 worth of debt. And that is not the outcome that anybody wants.
No. And that's so. You know, what I like about this is that you're painting a different picture, and I would encourage everybody, all our listeners, to go to mainebluecollar.com, check out the site. The application deadline for scholarships, if you're interested, and we should talk a little bit about that, but that application deadline is April 15th.
Yes.
So it's not too early, certainly, to start thinking about that. And these scholarships are anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 on the high end, $1,000 to $2,500. And they can be used for things that, and I think it's important to underscore this. You're talking about tools and obviously books, but uniforms. I mean, this is not your traditional scholarship. This is
No, because I think, again, being from the trades, having worked in the trades my whole life, we understand the needs. You know, just a pair of steel-toed boots can be $150, $200.
Right.
So if you're going to go on to be a lineman, for example, you know, to go to Kennebec Valley Community College, to get in that program, you know, you've got to have tools, you've got to have equipment, personal equipment that you need to bring into the class. So I think I'd like to know that you're doing a great job given the points about the scholarship, Dick. And I will add to that, we came up, this is a really innovative approach. It hasn't been tried before. And Maine Employers Mutual Insurance Company, MEMIC, has pledged over $20,000 in this effort. We're actually, for the first time that I know of in Maine, we're going to offer scholarships for instructors. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. Okay, we've got an instructor that's
mentioned it at the press conference.
Right, yeah, it's in the classroom, and this is at our Career Tech classrooms. I should specify it's Career Tech Ed, which was the former vocational instructors in schools. There are 27 of these schools throughout Maine. So those students, that instructor in the classroom is crucial. You know, all our educators are. As well, but that instructor now can apply for a scholarship and work for one full week at a best-in-class business in their respective field. So, for example, if you have someone that's the auto body instructor, okay, say up in Augusta, they can work for a week right at Moody's and learn every aspect of what we're doing real time, the equipment we're using, the processes that we've implemented, the best practices that we apply, our company's culture that we're very proud of, customer service, all of these things that they can soak up. They can give us what they need. Maybe there's some equipment we could donate to the program. It opens up job placement opportunities, internships, apprenticeships. So this is really innovative approach to taking that instructor out of their classroom, bring them into the real life, real world of their field, and bringing that value and that knowledge back to their students.
And right along with that, I would encourage anybody, because every year manufacturers all over the state have an open house.
Yes.
And they encourage people to come in. And by and large, for a lot of reasons, almost every business is a closed gated system these days. You have to punch in, sign in, whatever. You can't walk in anymore like it used to be.
Jeez, I walked in here, Dick. This place is pretty cool.
We're pretty
up here.
Open. We're pretty open. But I think it would take advantage. People need to get out. And I hope today we've hopefully lit a fire under some people who have maybe discounted the trades. Think about the trades. Understand that there's real opportunity out there in the trades, encouragement, and scholarship support. You know, so again, thanks, Sean, for coming into shedding some new light on all of this subject and the trades in particular. We're going to do our part to keep on promoting that. And well, by all means, go to mainebluecollar.com.
Yeah, I mean, we're both so passionate about it, Dick, and I know the listeners out there recognize increasing awareness. As we get some momentum behind us, there's a window of opportunity because of the lack of tradespeople here throughout the state. So I think, you know, now's our time to shine.
Great, great. Well, thanks for being a part of founding Maine Blue Collar Scholarship Foundation.
Thanks for having me, Dick.
You're a good
Appreciate
founder,
it.
Not a flounder, a good founder.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.